This episode of Youth Hacks is brought to you by Smart Events. Revolutionize the way you plan your events. From the fine folks that brought you Planning Center Online, for your free 30-day trial, sign up at smartevents.com. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Youth Hacks, a talk show for youth workers. I'm Josh from youthhacks.com, and as always, I'm here with some of my very good friends from joeldiaz.com. Joel Diaz.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, I see what happened. Joel's doing what Sarah did last week.
I just wanted to introduce everybody to my wife, Lisa.
You guys are both so fired. And from SarahFlow.com, Sarah Flow. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. But seriously, Joel, I don't get it.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
And we're talking to Sarah on a telephone. A telephone.
I know. How's it sounding?
It sounds pretty good. Pretty good considering.
Thanks.
So, hey, I just wanted to do a little follow-up on some stuff we talked about. So Joel and I have both started Steps of Justice, the 30-day justice devotional that Patty Gibbons picked a couple of episodes back. So Joel, what's that been like for you?
It's been awesome. We just started yesterday. So
yeah, same here.
I guess a little recap for those of you that don't remember or haven't heard that episode. Steps of Justice is a little book that was put together by YWAM and Phil Cunningham, and I believe his wife also helped in the book. And it's just 30 days of observing world issues and problems. So yesterday the focus was world hunger, and so I have 18 or 19 students following along with me, and we fasted yesterday. And instead of not only do you fast for world hunger on this day one, but you're supposed to feed the hunger in your community. So I had 10 or 11 of the students meet me at 5:45 in the morning at Salvation Army to feed breakfast to the homeless in our community here in Albany, Georgia. And then the other portion of the group met me that night for dinner, and we served dinner. And then those of us that could, we all went out to eat later on that night, and we broke fast together and kind of talked about the day and experiences and thoughts and feelings. So it was really good. And then today the focus has been HIV and AIDS. And so it's a great guide. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the parents. They love what we're doing. The students are really liking it. And one thing that we did is we set up a private Facebook group, and I've posed questions to the students, and they've been dialoguing on the wall there of our Facebook group. It's been pretty neat.
I wonder what they're going to think about next week's action. Have you looked ahead to that?
I have, but they all run together now, so I don't know which one you're meant.
It's the diarrhea one where you have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yes. We talked about that last night at dinner. Kind of funny that you mentioned that. Focus of that day is diarrhea.
Okay.
So stats it puts in there is that over 2 million children die of diarrhea every day around the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
2 million?
I believe so. I read it like 5 times to make sure I read it correctly. But I don't have my book in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
Sarah, is that something that you heard people talking about when you were in Togo?
Malaria, obviously, and that kind of all goes together, but
I guess obviously the danger if you're a child and you have diarrhea in the third world is that you're going to dehydrate and die, right?
Right, exactly.
It's very serious.
I understand the danger. I just didn't understand the challenge.
I see. Yeah. So basically, the deal is, and in light of how serious that is, it's a pretty, you're getting off pretty easy. But yeah, basically, you have to excuse yourself 5 times during the day, and go step in the bathroom and spend 5 minutes in the bathroom before you can come back out. Yeah, praying for. So it's a cool way to kind of like throughout the day say, hey, what would my life look like if this, and not, you know, that's social, but beyond that, though, you know, obviously the health impacts, and so that's a cool one.
Yeah, of course.
But it is one that
you
kind
know
of,
what you could do.
What's that?
You could make, you know, like brownies and put some kind of.
Really, Sarah? Okay, moving on.
You could put some kind of thing that makes it too.
Okay.
Yeah, let's move on.
So anyway, oh wow. Sarah Lee Bross. So I also wanted to talk.
Do you physically remember? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, she works
I just wanted to make sure you understood.
Works at a financial firm. So also, hey, our friend Brian wrote a comment on the blog. And Sarah, first he just said, congratulations to Mrs. Flo.
Thank you.
He says that marriage is a wonderful gift from God and he wishes you many years of happiness. He also said that at his church for their seniors, there's a lady who embroiders messages on towels and gives students to gives them to the students at the end of their senior year.
That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and he said kind of for him, since they're not a college town and kids, lots of kids tend to leave for school, that they make it it's kind of a more of a sending off ceremony for them than anything else. So.
Okay.
Anyway, that's cool.
That makes sense. That is cool.
So yeah, we're
thanks for sharing.
Yep. Cool. So hey, I saw an article. Actually, it was on the Fuller Youth Institute's Facebook feed, and it's a Yahoo News. So actually, it's a Reuters story, and study they did in Kansas City. Where they introduced single-sex lunches into three schools. And they found that it reduced misbehavior and it helped kids kind of improve their eating. So it helped them eat more. So the interesting question then is kind of like, you know, for junior high students, maybe being separated by gender is a good thing, which I think anyone who's ever tried to do even a brief co-ed small group for even like an ad hoc group for junior high students knows that it is just really not a good idea. You have, first of all, they clump, right, by gender. Second of all, the guys just are terrified to talk in front of girls or they show off and act like idiots.
Yes.
So, yeah, Joel, do you guys divide stuff up by gender in junior high?
Not enough, but we're headed that way in 4 weeks.
What does that mean?
So, we really don't divide that much up in the junior high group, mainly because of staff and volunteer needs. We just don't have we haven't had the infrastructure to do it. And in 4 weeks, I've been meeting and discussing with a group of volunteers, and in 4 weeks, we're going to split the middle school group into guys and girls. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I know the positives of doing that because there's nothing better than doing just a junior high guys event or a junior high girls event.
I agree.
It's night and day in the quality of event and what the kids get out of it versus everybody lumped together. So I even favor that. And my students have learned to favor that with the high school.
Oh yeah.
The high school students. Yeah. We do a retreat every January and the girls go away for a weekend. And then they come back and then the guys go the following weekend. And that's probably the number one comment I get from the students that attend is how much they love just having girls there. Like everybody that's at that retreat is a woman. There's a woman worship leader, women speakers, everything is just women. So the girls really let all their guard down and really let all the walls down. And then the same thing on the guys weekend. It's really incredible to see guys just bond instantly when they're not distracted.
That's cool.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I really like the principal in this article says the girls always seem to like it because they get their girl time without having to worry about boys, and the boys don't show off for the girls. I think it's the perfect age for this. I think that's very, very legitimate, and I definitely think that can carry over into church world.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone who has done extensive work with junior high students who's surprised by this. It is kind of a good reminder to kind of if you do junior high youth ministry, to kind of look at what you're doing and think, hey, what could I, you know, where am I not doing this that it might be productive to do so. So anyway, yeah.
Well, and I also think that Joel. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I think it's interesting what Joel said too about the girls' weekend, just having a female worship leader, a female speaker. And I think that a lot of times, unfortunately, doesn't happen enough in church. And so splitting girls up to hear from girls, I think, is actually a very, challenging and compelling and connecting way for them to plug in. So, and I think we do think about separating when it comes to small groups. But when you think about, you know, like big service time together, that's another story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good article.
So, Joel, you had something you wanted to chat with us about today.
Yeah.
So I'll let you set it up.
Yeah,
Joel,
what's your big idea?
My big idea, it's not an idea. It's an issue that I'm dealing with, and I guess this is part of the reason we started this whole podcast, just to give us an excuse to talk. And also, if you're listening to this, I invite your comments on the blog, and Josh will give you that information later, or you can call and leave us a voicemail. But I'm just dealing with that, I guess, that issue everybody, I think, in youth ministry will eventually deal with if you have. Yeah, and the issue is I'm having I'm dealing with parents now who have, quote, the good kids, or they think that their kids are stellar in the youth group. And then we've had a few kids that come that, you know, people would say they're on the fringe or whatever, but their parents aren't church attenders, and these kids come on their own accord and have gotten plugged in some facet of our youth ministry. But along with them comes bad behavior and bad habits. So parents are like, you know, why are they allowing these kids to be here in our youth group? And it's a difficult balance to pull because, you know, as a youth minister, whatever, you have to protect the students that are entrusted to you. But at the same time, your heart hurts and cares for the students that nobody else cares about. And so where do you draw the line as far as behavior? Because the big issue is that they're more concerned about the perception that our youth ministry might have in the community more than the impact that these students might have on their own kids.
Well, so, I mean, if you're just asking generally the question, you know, is your youth ministry for your own flock or is it for people who are outside of the fold? I mean, that answer is really easy, which is both.
Right.
That's obvious. Mm-hmm. What is the? What seems like it's a bigger question is a question of your church culture and what they think. So that, you know, that's where the challenge comes in because I think anyone in youth ministry obviously wants kids to move into deep discipleship, but they also want to pull in kids who have no idea who Jesus is, and you have to do both well.
Right.
You know, to me, it sounds like there's might be a problem of people not understanding what the mission of the church or the ministry is. Beyond that, I would question if these parents who want their kids protected from other kids, I mean, to me, that just seems like a myth. Like, first of all, the kids that they think are bad may need protection from their kids. And second of all, if they think that's the only place that these kids are exposed to whatever sort of bad behavior they're concerned about, they're most likely wrong.
Yeah, but what they're going to say is, yeah, but my kids shouldn't have to do that at church, which I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that I feel like that's what they would come back with is, well, sure, they do experience this kind of stuff at other places. I don't want them to have to do that at church. I want church to be a safe place for them. You know, but my question for you, Joel, is it a lot of parents that are having problems or a few parents that you could sit down one-on-one and really explain your heart and your vision for where you're
that's,
going? And
that's the most frustrating part of this is – these parents have come secretly to members of my vision and support team, which are made up of other parents and other leaders within the church that don't have kids in the youth ministry. So they kind of came to them in confidence. So the members of my vision and support team don't really feel like – they don't feel the freedom to like out them. But at the same time, they're at least making me aware of the issue. So, I mean, you know, I was like the only way – to address this issue is to call all the parents. And then if the parents of these students show up, everybody in the room is going to know who we're talking about and it's going to ostracize them. It's going to make them feel super awkward, very unwelcomed, you know, like they're being hauled in, even though you might not say, you know, and to give you an example, cause I just can't, I guess we can't talk about this. Just to give you an example of one of the issues that they got really, really concerned about is that when we were on a recent retreat on our way home, one of these kids attempted to shoplift a chapstick, and he got busted.
Yeah.
So
who busted him?
The
store owner.
Store owner.
Oh.
Had it on camera.
Wow.
So they called the sheriff's department out, and the student.
For chapstick?
Yeah, yeah.
They called the sheriff's department?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's their prerogative. It's their store, I
guess. Sure.
Get it.
Sure, sure, you know, totally. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Right. So the sheriff comes out. Anyways, they let him go. They let the student go without a charge or anything. And we get back on the bus. And I was more upset at my students who were on the retreat than I was at the student that stole the chapstick. Because I picked up really quickly that the students were talking about somebody, but nobody wanted to tell me who it was. Meanwhile, this kid is in the store, you know, by themselves. I have no idea what's going on. And eventually I basically almost lost my cool and just told them, hey, listen, I need to know what's going on right now. And they finally, you know, told me what's going on. And I went in there, was able to kind of be by their side while we went through this whole process, which is very uncomfortable and very, very embarrassing for the student, because the whole group is sitting in this parking lot of this convenience store waiting to leave, and we're having to wait for them, and seeing them out in front of the store with the sheriff at the patrol car. And so, but anyway, so that's where it started. And out of that spawned rumors of other things that were going on the trip, none of them, which have been proven. And so that's where I find myself. So this little, I don't think it's a big group. I think it's a small group of parents. So that are just overly protective.
What would they like to see done?
That's the thing. I wasn't told there. Gotcha. You know, nothing.
Gotcha.
they just wanted to voice their concern.
I think that, you know, at some point it becomes a question of you and your part in all of this, because it's like,
right?
There's going to be a parent that's going to not be happy at some point. I mean, we want to make everybody happy. We want, you know, everyone to feel included. But at some point, that's, you know, going to hurt someone's feelings or make someone upset or uncomfortable. And I'm not saying that you have to rock the boat so much that, you know, half your parents leave. I just think that, you know, maybe you could talk to your board and get the parents to come in. I mean, I think that until they talk to you personally, it's like out of your hand.
Yeah, I think you got to flip the conversation to how do we bless this kid?
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed. Because the kid is expecting to get in trouble. I mean, always.
Yeah.
You know, like he's to be the.
Well,
boss.
You know, the funny thing is when we left there, I sat next to that kid in our vehicle, and I talked and interacted more with this student on that day than I had in the 3 years that I've been on staff at this church.
Yep.
So, and that should be the reassuring thing that tells you you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and he apologized to me, I don't know, 7-8 times on the drive home on the 3 hours we still had left together in the church van.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he didn't even talk to the other people on the van. He was just embarrassed. And you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know what the outcome of it's going to be. But as far as in his life and, you know, me showing him grace, did it have a positive or negative impact? I don't know. I just knew that at the moment, I didn't feel like I really needed to come down on him. He had been embarrassed in front of the entire group as it was already.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tough situation, but I think as far as parents go, I mean, I think you're doing the right thing. And I think.
Yeah.
You know, really.
It's, you know, it is tough because, sometimes your perspective or your goals or your values can conflict with your communities. And I mean, you know, if you ask the question, who wins that? I don't know. It's an interesting discussion.
Right. There's just a lot of times that parents want me to react as a parent or the way that they would react. And that's just, you know, as a youth minister, that's not your role.
Yeah.
The parents are supposed to be the parents. Yeah.
You know, these.
But until they talk to you, though, you can't react at all. It's not even really
right.
Clear.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to address the issue in a parent meeting or in a student meeting or anything, because it's not the right way to handle it. I mean, if the parents are really that upset about it, they need to come and we need to meet privately. Let's talk about it.
Sure. Well, maybe you could address it in a broader sense of your next parent meeting. Not like, well, I've heard that some of you have had problems. but just kind of remind them of your vision and kind of reinforce maybe a little bit stronger how you feel about reaching out to students that maybe they would be less comfortable with, you know, like maybe go about it that way. So it just kind of reminds them of the heart behind it and not just that, you know, we're letting rough kids in our youth.
You know, the truth is, though, that no one wants their kid booted out if they are the one who does something stupid next week. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, but their kid would never do that.
Right.
You know?
Until they do.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So. No, I mean, there's grace for both sides, I think. And, yeah, it is a tough line to walk for sure.
Yeah.
You know, on this topic, I thought it was interesting. I was at Chap Clark's Critical Concerns course in at the Youth Workers National Youth Workers Commission this year, and it was interesting. He kind of talked about, and I guess this is in some ways similar to Doug Field's. Was all the events kind of fall into one or more of certain categories, right? Like, are they based on who you're targeting, right? Are they outreach events? Are they whatever? So, and Chap Clark kind of talked about having different levels of a youth ministry, kind of like concentric rings, right? And like kind of the furthest out ring would be programs or events or times that you are targeting any teen that would come. Like, so any teen who showed up would be very comfortable in that environment. And then you kind of have a next level, which is, you know, maybe some kids who are curious, maybe some kids who are young in their faith, and, you know, then you have kind of another thing that's maybe like small groups where you're doing life sharing kind of stuff. So not necessarily like absorbing content as much as kind of, I don't know, deep sharing, life on life kind of stuff. So I think, you know, to the topic of, is the youth ministry for the people you already have or people you're trying to reach out to? You know, I think it is, there is an interesting question about how you set your ministry or how you think about your community around the different groups that you're trying to target.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if that's all can all be program based though. Right. So what if you only have one program a week? You know, I don't know. I mean, Joel,
right, yeah.
Do you think that all of your stuff is something that someone who had never attended a church service would be comfortable attending?
Not all my stuff, but definitely, I mean, I gear Sunday night is our big youth night.
Yeah.
So we gear that night, specifically for students to bring their friends.
Gotcha.
Where
does the deeper component come in?
It comes in on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And that's where like, we've been in a kind of, I tried to split the youth group before, and it's just, you know, with one person on staff, full-time person, it's really difficult. And so what we're going to do now in 4 weeks is I have eight adult leaders, and we're going to be splitting up into male and female junior high and senior high groups. But right now, this next week, we're all going to start meeting together for the next 3 weeks and go through that book, Oh No, I'm a Small Group Leader, something like that.
Yeah.
It's a YS book.
Help.
Help, yeah.
Help, I'm a Small Group Leader. Yeah,
those are good.
Yeah, Help, I'm a Small Group Leader. So we're going to go through that with them. I know a couple of them are already solid small group leaders, but it's always helpful. Even for me, I was flipping back through that book. So many great little nuggets of information in there. So we're going to split out by gender and go into a small group format and get very intentional with that time and those relationships. So I'm hoping that'll help. But, yeah, that's definitely our deeper component would be Wednesday nights. And then Sunday mornings, too, is very I guess that would kind of be middle of the road. But we're pretty intentional about our curriculum on Sunday mornings.
So would you say that the student comes or whatever students come to Sunday nights, or do they come to Wednesday nights, or do they come to both or none?
The students that we've been talking about or referring to?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're Sunday night students.
Sunday night students, okay.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing, and that's where the retreat stuff, that's kind of where all that, those rings, I guess you would call them, kind of gets, you know.
And you want them on the retreat.
Yeah.
Right, exactly, because that's the time when you get to spend, you know, having conversations you never have before and laughing together and hanging out. I mean, it's just that kind of time you can't really get at church. So, it's a hard one, Joel.
Mm-hmm. You should just quit your job, dude.
Seriously, run away. Yeah. You should totally work at a financial firm.
Oh, I've never done that before.
That's not true. He did it. You did that.
I did that.
Hey, so I'm the only one who has not worked at a financial firm.
Ugh, how lame.
Bet you 10 bucks and never will.
Hard to say.
Bet you 10 bucks.
I do. Okay. I bet that $10. Cool. So, hey, let's jump over to our picks of the week. And let's go ladies first this week. Sarah, what is your pick this week?
Oh, how kind. My pick this week is a book I just started reading called Forgotten God by Francis Chan.
Okay, so what if the next chapter is like totally terrible, poorly written, and theologically incorrect? And you've recommended it on the internet.
Oh no.
What are you gonna do then?
Here is my disclaimer is I just started, I mean it's sitting next to my bed to start reading.
Oh my gosh, Sarah.
So I can't recommend it yet, but I mean everyone's probably heard of this book or heard of Francis Chan listening to the show. So it's not like, why are you giving me a hard time? Back off.
Yes.
Is Francis
why
Chan.
Why am I listening to you?
Is he related to House of Chan in Marietta, Georgia?
Oh.
I don't think so.
Okay. Just checking.
I'm ignoring that comment.
I've never heard of that guy.
One thing I will say about Francis Chan is, I went to Catalyst last year.
Yes.
And Josh's favorite event, I know. I liked some parts of it, didn't like some parts of it, but I will say Francis Chan was pretty amazing because we led the entire stadium in communion together. And
that's cool.
Was my very favorite speaker, and he was just very humble and very I felt it was not hard for me to connect with God actually in that moment, and I feel like that is a big deal for me.
It is.
So I've read some of Crazy Love, but it's been a while. I haven't really read any stuff that he's written, so I'm looking forward to giving it a go.
Yeah, and as far as Catalyst, if you want to be a part of a group of leaders leading leaders, discussions on leadership for leaders who are leading, then yeah, if you want to maximize your effective strategy.
As Josh continues, listen, I'm not the founder of Catalyst, okay? I just went. I got a free ticket, all right?
No, it's awesome.
No
one loves 45-year-old guys in T-shirts as much as me.
Hey, there was
I like them when they're V-neck.
All right.
That's true.
There's plenty of flannel.
Very expensive pants.
I have something very important to say about Francis Chan again. Another thing I respect about him is he left his church and moved to Asia with his family, took all of his kids, like 4 or 5 months, and I think did ministry over there, if I'm correct.
So I watched this video where he was talking about going to inner city L.A., and then someone was going, hey, did you hear about Francis Chan going to Asia? And I'm like,
yeah.
No, he didn't. He went to inner city LA. And they went,
I'm pretty sure that was me and you. Was
and you know what happened? They said, look it up, Cook. Look it up. And I looked it up. And guess what? I guess he changed his mind or something.
Well, yeah. I think he's back now.
He's back.
I don't think he's
Asia was short term. LA's next, maybe?
Maybe. He spoke at Passion. About it, but I didn't hear much. So. Anyway, basically, long story short is Francis Chan and I are best friends, and he and his wife are coming over for dinner later.
He's a very earnest man.
He's an awesome surfer, too.
Are you guys just delaying your picks now? Cause
no, not at all. No, listen, no. I want to talk about someone who's speaking to leaders who are leading a generation of leaders.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, Josh. Going to Catalyst is why I now work at a financial firm, okay?
Okay, cool.
Did you go to Catalyst West?
No. I went to Catalyst Atlanta.
Okay, sorry. You're married and you live in Denver now. I'm just trying to...
Last year, pay attention.
Hey, Sarah, just really quick rat hole. You reminded me last week of the Gunger song, Beautiful Things. And it fit very nicely with our sermon for that week. So I had a couple of our kids... do it up real special and sing it as a response song.
Awesome.
And
how was How was it? Did they do that?
It was wonderful. Yeah. So all these kids were like, oh my gosh, I've never heard that song before. And all these kids from Fellowship were posting Gungor songs on the Facebook and such. Ooh. And I got to say, I took all credit for it.
Oh, you big jerk. Well, you know, if you had said my name, they probably would have started crying and weeping.
That's true. So. And also, in all fairness, you took every good idea I ever had to Fellowship with you and claimed it. So I had nothing to offer when I got there.
That's true. I was like, oh, man, have you guys heard of Base Camp? You should totally try it out.
Hey,
I just found it the other day online.
My friend Josh, I got him to put together this series that I thought of and assembled. Basically, he didn't do anything on it. I shouldn't have even mentioned him. Okay, sorry. Oh, anyway, Joel, what's your pick this week?
My favorite pick ever.
Actually, I was gonna ask, since we're talking about Gungor, we were talking about him last week, and I could not remember the title of the song, but Sarah, have you heard the song Wrap Me in Your Arms?
I don't think so.
It's a Michael Gungor.
Is that like Afternoon Delight?
Oh, or is wow. that different? Okay, pick of the week for Joel. My pick of the week is also a book that I have been reading and thoroughly enjoying.
Copycat.
No, actually, Sarah, the difference is I've actually almost done reading mine. A lot of you will probably not agree with the theology, but it's been a great reminder for me of just a simple magnitude and beauty of God's grace.
Is it by the Dalai Lama?
How'd you know? No.
It's
by Jay Baker. It's his newest book, Fall to Grace, A Revolution of God.
Friend of the show, Jay Baker, in fact.
Yes, friend of the show. We should have him back sometime.
I'd love that.
He's
not on Good Morning America and stuff.
Yeah, I know. He's all big time. So, anyways, if you're like me, I'm definitely older than Sarah and Josh. And in all honesty, I've been like really worn out in the last few months, just with so much going on at church. And as a youth minister or youth pastor, whatever your title is, you have to plan lessons and do all those things. And a lot of the times we forget to spend time with God on our own, not for any other reason, but just spend time with Him, not using those things and cheating the system to use it in youth ministry or as your next teaching series. So it's been a great reminder. It's been really uplifting just to read it. I think for most people, Jay is going to be to the left of center, but it's still just a great reminder.
Do you mean to the left of sinner? You see what I did?
Yeah, I like that.
All right.
I don't get it.
So, anyways.
Cool. Good pick, Joel.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And I actually, when I was at the National Youth Workers Convention, I was pretty bummed that Tony Jones wasn't speaking, and I heard that he was at a booth, so I went by just to shake his hand and say that I enjoyed his writings, yada, yada. And we ended up chatting about Jay, and Tony was just talking about what a great book it was and how people should check it out. So,
speaking of Tony Jones,
yeah,
still can't follow him on Twitter because he blocked me for some reason. I just want to go on the podcast now and say that.
It had to be an accident.
Why does he hate you?
I don't know, but if for any reason anybody listens to this that actually knows Tony in any way, shape, or form, I even sent him a Facebook message and no reply. So he must really, really hate me. Or there's another guy that whose name is Joel Diaz that he really, really hates. But
it had to be an
accident. Aren't you Diaz Joel?
No, the Joel Diaz. Yeah, maybe I go to my other Twitter account and follow him and then beg him to unblock.
Dude,
he must
have accidentally. Seriously, if someone's obnoxious, you just unfollow them.
Right,
it had to be an accident.
Block someone.
Like say that's Joel was tweeting too much about the World Cup or something. You just unfollow.
Oh yeah, I did.
Well, it's not the unfollow thing. Is that when I go to follow him,
yeah,
Twitter
yes,
tells me
he has blocked you.
This user has blocked you.
That's bizarre.
Oh yeah, it was a pre-block.
Yeah, it's not even like he unfollowed me.
Oh, wow.
Or he blocked me.
That
he shut
is
the
awesome. So. I kind of want this to never end, so that way we can talk about it every week.
No, it kind of hurts. Hey. I sent him a Facebook message. He said, hey, I really enjoyed meeting you at the Reform booth at the National Youth Workers Convention because I actually brought some of the curriculum home with me. And I thought it was super awesome that Reform threw their party at a pub, an Irish pub. That was really awesome. And everybody got a free pint. That was cool. But
can I make a blog suggestion? I mean, yes? A podcast suggestion? Josh, mm-hmm. If we could start having a feature called What Tony Jones Blogs, and then just talk, just kind of residential space.
Oh, yeah. I've got...
Like,
you know something?
He's been on fire.
Cool stuff, Tony Jones tweet.
From now on, my picks of the week from this point forward are going to be my favorite Tony Jones blog article of the week. Until...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dude, you can look at his tweets. You just got to log out first.
I know. Yeah, I do that. But it's kind of a... I'd like for them to come in on my feed.
Yep, I got you.
This is making my day a lot better.
So, hey,
all right, Josh, what's your pick?
Hey, briefly before we get to my pick, you were mentioning... blanking. Oh, yeah, you mentioned people... this being a little left of center, Jay's book, and people might not agree with it. That makes you think of another book that some people might not want to read. anyway, no, seriously, I was thinking today about Love Wins. I think is it out today?
Yep.
Okay, so anyway. And almost every single person who has an issue with that book has not read it. That's science. And it made me think about a friend of our family who I had a conversation with about one time. It was the controversial Jesus movie, The Last Temptation of Christ. And so she picketed The Last Temptation of Christ. And so, and I was talking to her about it, and I said, I was like, and I was actually a teenager, so I had not seen the movie at this point. And I said, so what was so bad about The Last Temptation of Christ? She goes, oh, I don't know. I'm not going to go see that movie. And it made me think, if you're upset about a book that you have not read, you're not a good person. You're a terrible person. And you should either read the book or you should forfeit your right to talk about it. Seriously, that's what I think.
I concur.
And
agree.
And if you don't want to read the book, don't read the book. That's awesome. But if you're mad about it and you haven't read it, not a good person.
Right. Don't get mad.
I just want to throw this out. I just went to Amazon.
Yep.
And they're already sold out of the hardcover. They won't have more until the 20th.
You should have gotten the pre-order like this guy.
Yeah. It's a great price. Now you can go get the Kindle, though, the Kindle version.
That's true. That's really good.
I know this is going to be hard to believe, but all of the one-star comments are about him presenting universalism in a winning way. And all of the five-star comments are about the book being a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Speaking of not good people, people who one star Amazon books,
mm-hmm.
Man, that's a special kind of person. Cause you're not saying you're not saying this is a poorly written book. You should not buy it. You're saying I'm one starring it as like an act of protest or something. Hey, anyway, this is my pick this week. My pick is Font Squirrel. FontSquirrel.com.
It's English.
Yep. And I've written on the site before and chatted before about how, you know, first of all, at youth workers, generally we get stuck with doing things like making slides or, you know, doing stuff on a website or, I don't know, just doing designy type stuff. You know, it's kind of part of the gig from time to time. And if you're not, yeah, whatever. So, and if you're not great at design, one of the best things that you can do is just start using some decent fonts.
Amen.
And, you know, not to be that guy, but if your preferred font is Comic Sans, you might want to check out some other fonts. I know it's Comic, and I know it's trite to give Comic Sans
or
a hard time.
Papyrus.
Yeah, no, Papyrus really is my least favorite font, except it was the subtitle font in Avatar. Can you believe that? Isn't that weird?
I know.
So, anyway, yeah, fontsquirrel.com is, it's, you know, there's a lot of free font sites out there, but this one has particularly good fonts. And, you know, if you go to some of these font sites and say, hey, I'll just grab, you know, the top five fonts, you're going to get some really terrible fonts. But if you look at the most downloaded fonts here on fontsquirrel.com, they're actually nice looking fonts. And a couple of them there.
Are they
like.
Free?
They're free, yeah.
I have to crush on free fonts.
So Chunk 5 is nice. I use that one a lot. And Museo, I don't know if it's Museo or Museo, Slab and Sands are both nice fonts.
It's Museo. It's Spanish for museum.
But I understand that that's what that is.
Oh my gosh.
I was a freshman in high school once, but I'm not sure that's how it's pronounced in this context.
Yeah, Museo.
Anyway, Museo Slab.
This is why Tony Gunn blocked you, Joel.
It is. Yes. Yeah, so if you have to do slides or design work, or, you know, you're stuck with doing website duty and you're kind of not really sure what you're doing, don't ever use the default font. And maybe unless you're using Keynote or Pages or something that Apple's made, because they usually do okay on the fonts. But yeah, go get some good fonts and use those instead of the crappy ones you're using right now.
Thanks,
yep. So yeah, 3 weeks in a row. How about that, you guys?
Hello.
Not too shabby.
Just two for me.
Hey, listen, we didn't say it would be good. We just said it was going to happen. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that by calling 530-968-8477. You can email us at podcast@youthhacks.com, or you can just visit us at youthhacks.com.
Can we get fan mail?
I'm sorry.
I would like to start getting physical fan mail.
Yeah, yeah. Just go ahead and tell people your home address.
Just put it out there on the internet. Go ahead, Sarah Flo. I'll tell them mine when you're done with telling them
yours. Or just go with your financial firm, Big Box. Just go get a P.O. box for us.
Listen, I have to go. All right, I have Shepherd's Pie.
I've got a feeling there's a lot of P.O. boxes in Denver.
Did you just say Shepherd's Pie?
Hey, can we end something on a different note, by the way?
Yeah.
This is a serious matter that I realized. Josh Cook, you have not talked about your news. We've talked about my news.
Oh.
But since
holy cow, you have not.
Yeah, I reproduced, you guys.
News. I feel like this should be the opening of a show, not the end.
Oh, no,
hey, can you get him to, when we say, hey, it's Josh Cook, and then...
I'll introduce the boy?
Yeah, the boy could say something.
Yeah, actually, I had a boy named Benjamin, and he's wonderful. And if you go to jshck.com/, so that's just my name with no vowels, /Ben, you'll see a bunch of videos and pictures and stuff. And he's wonderful, and he's probably handsomer than your baby. I'm saying this. There's some things I've done well in life and some things I've done poorly, but that's a handsome child.
He is a very handsome child, you're right.
And I know Joel's the father of two good looking children, so who knows what I'm talking about.
I know. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, it's been really fun talking to you guys, and can always check us out at youthhacks.com. We love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.